shore where the mountains meet the sea, in a clapboard shack by a broken down tree. There's a light in the window, two salty gals inside. I'm not sure if they're witches, but you know that's implied. Got the storytelling, ego swelling, pillow talking, moonlight walking, sea hags.
Welcome to the Sea Hags Podcast. I am Katie Nordgren.
And I'm Chris Jeppa. And with us today is a tarot card reader and magic maker. It's Sharon Pink.
Hello.
Hi, Sharon. You're already making some magic in the shack today. Getting us to say cool words like groovy that we obviously always say at exactly the same time.
We finish each other's
sandwiches. Is that from that dumb kids movie Frozen?
Probably.
Yeah.
I've never heard it and I liked it.
Okay, so, perfect. Yeah. Good.
There's always a fresh out. So a friend of mine said something like that, like, if you ever just want to make a kid, laugh, you just tell them one of, the dumbest, corniest jokes that you ever heard, but they've never heard it before. It's like a fresh audience every time, so, you're a hit. You're always the funniest person ever.
That's true.
And aren't you glad?
Isn't that what, I guess that's why dad jokes are so great, because it's, as a kid, you've never heard them before.
Hi, hungry, I'm dad. God, yeah, exactly. That's its own kind of magic, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, my God.
Messing with children?
Yes, it really is.
I'm so bad with jokes. I'm the worst person in the world to tell a joke. And I have, and I forget jokes. So even those, simple, kids jokes / dad jokes, I'm always up for hearing those because it's they're always brand new to me.
That's so nice.
Yeah.
You're perfect.
Yeah.
You can stay.
Like a child, I guess.
So, yeah. Excellent.
Yeah. I went to a 7-year-old's birthday party yesterday. It was pretty wild.
Wild stuff? Oh, is that the 7-year-old that likes to drink Glenlivet straight out of the bottle?
Sure. Does. Oh. We had teeny tiny little bottle, empty bottles of Glenlivet, and he took one and put water in it and pretended to he just waited for his parents to show up so he could prank them. He's so cute. I saw him be born. I saw him come out of his mom. He was my second doula client baby ever.
Oh, wow.
And now he's 7.
That's nuts.
It's getting drunk.
And getting hammered all the time.
On water too.
Weird. I know, right?
Yeah.
Just drunk on hydration.
Yeah, you drink enough of anything, you're going to have a wild time.
You just have to pee forever.
Welcome to my world.
But his little sister had, the floofiest fairy dress ever, and I was so enchanted, and I really want one. It's the mom just, bought a little crop top and then just sewed,
poof?
Tulle to, just all kinds of poof to it, and it's, the hugest dress. She couldn't even fit through the kitchen door.
That's because adorable.
Her poof was too poofy.
That's so
That's
funny.
Amazing.
I was telling you earlier that I love to watch Hays Code era films, so we're talking, 1928 to 1934.
Hays Code?
The Hays Code is something that came in 1933 that mandated a certain kind of morality for all films. You couldn't show miscegenation anymore. You couldn't suggest people were having sex. Kisses could only last 3 seconds, all of these things that were really, really specific, and that lasted until the 50s, I think, or possibly even the 70s. I'm really not sure how long
they were
it
just
went.
These 1920s have been too libertarian, not libertarian, libertine.
You've been having too much fun. We can't possibly stand for that. So that's kind of what they did. So I was watching something that came out right before that snapped into place, and it was Katharine Hepburn in Morning Glory, and there were two other actresses in the film, they're playing actresses. They're all, it's very meta, don't you know? Like Hollywood loves to tell stories about itself. And so one of these actresses, she was wearing a tulle poof around your neck exactly the way that you just described. It was just so big, she looked like a human microphone. It was like a globe of tulle around her. It was something really magical, and she was such a bitch. It's why? I know I'm the best actor in all the land. And I deserve $2,500 a week.
And they all talk like that, and it's great.
Yeah, they do talk like that. Especially
where are
Catherine
you from? Hepburn. Hollywood?
Just like the middle of the ocean between England and New York City.
Yeah, right?
The Atlantic accent. That's what they called it.
That's so strange.
Which brings me to the apartment building you guys used to live in, because it sounds like Atlantic.
Oh yeah, the Aldandic.
That was a big reach.
That was a pretty good segue, Katie.
Oh, thanks. This is my Make-A-Wish day where you tell me my dumb things are good.
And you're also a new member of the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Wait, what? No!
No, that's Anthony Kiedis' Make-A-Wish.
That I become a new member of the Red Hot Chili Peppers?
Yes.
I'm too old for him. Anyway.
So we've had other members from this old fabled apartment building on the podcast before. Past guest Ray, past guest Tamara. I believe Anya mentioned it in her episode as well. And I think that's it for now, but there's always more folks to capture. But It was the coolest apartment building. Mm-hmm. And the way that I got into meeting everybody in that building was through Sharon. Mm-hmm. And we kind of built like a cool little network of awesome people through that.
Yeah, because you came to my... You came and knocked on my door one Friday morning.
Mm-hmm. And who does that? Who talks to their neighbors?
Yeah, who, takes that risk to go and have a conversation. But I don't even think I had, like, seen you in the building yet. Mm-mm. I felt like I hadn't even... And it's like there's 12 units in the building, right? And so it's small.
Yeah, we were right across the hall from each other.
Yeah, and you came and knocked on my door, and you were like, hi, do you have a Sharpie? You were like, I want to make, like, a sign against, so every Friday at Broadway
Sky the Transition. Anti-abortion protests.
The like anti-choice people. And so, yeah, so Chris was coming over to borrow a Sharpie to make a sign against them. And I was like, you're cool. Who are you? Like, why have I never seen you? You live across the hall. And yeah, and then I think you came in my apartment and we were chatting for a minute. And then we had a small brunch with a few of us.
Yeah.
And then we like started a Facebook page that was like just all the people in the building, and it became this like really, and it still exists, right? It became this like really sweet thing. And I remember were you coming home and I gave you a tampon to put up your nose because you had a nosebleed?
Yes.
You went and through like crazy nosebleeds.
I had a really bad nosebleed season for a couple of years after I came back from Burning Man.
This is all the pliocin is finally working its way out of you.
But there was such like sweet things like that about the building, and we had this nose tampons, right?
It's important.
That's like the really sweet thing that I remember. but we had this day where we did like little tours of people's buildings or people's apartments.
Yeah, it was like a roving dinner party.
Yeah,
that's adorable.
And so people had like if they wanted to like bring a snack or food or drink, and you could like have it in your home, and then you'd move to another suite and
musical flats.
It was really cute because it was like you don't have to wear your shoes because we're just gonna stay inside the building.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, okay, there's gonna be appetizers in 202, and then like soup. You made like an awesome tortilla soup.
That's right. Yeah.
Like across the hall, and then like another dinner thing, and then dessert upstairs.
Oh, lovely. Like, that's so beautiful.
It was like a pretty amazing thing, and mm-hmm. there'd be things where we'd be like, it's actually the like. You know, hey neighbor, can I borrow some sugar? But you'd put it on the Facebook page.
It's a little village.
Or you'd be like, I have this thing I want to give away. I'm going to leave it outside my door. And then you'd hear like, do, 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 do. And someone would come and take it. And then do, 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 do. And then in a minute later, thanks, I love it. I was looking for this. And it's like really, and the building still exists.
Mm-hmm.
My sister lives there and a few people, you know, friends still live there. And it's like, what a sweet little place. It was kind of like the East Van Melrose place.
Yeah. Awesome.
It was pretty cute.
I loved that building. I loved your apartment. Mm-hmm. We definitely crashed there, wasted a lot of times.
Yeah.
It was great. You passed out with a cutout of Captain Picard there one time. It was a good day.
I passed out in bed and someone inserted the Captain Picard under the sheets with me and took pictures.
You didn't complain, though.
I mean, why not? He's a handsome gentleman. I'm not worried about it.
Captain by captain.
I remember the reason that I felt, like, safe. I was just like, oh, like, I went trying to borrow that Sharpie the very first time. Yeah. I was, like, going through all of my felts, and I couldn't find any that worked. And then I was like, what's that sound from across the hall? It was totally La Tigra playing. And I was like,
you're someone who loves abortion.
I was like, I just feel like this is like
queer
a
feminist
good...
feminist across the hall.
I feel like there's like a good chance. Ding, 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 hey.
That's amazing.
Oh my god, cooperative Sharpie handling. I love it.
Yeah.
It's so great.
We did a cute thing where we got a small neighborhood grant. It was my first small neighborhood grant, and we painted the park behind our...
Yeah, and cleaned it up.
Yeah, because it was pretty, like, you know, the benches were all just kind of run down and whatever, and we just bought, like, a bunch of paint and, like, painted them bright yellow and painted the posts and, like...
Put a dog bowl there, and it was...
It was kind of cute.
It was really
it's
sweet.
It's funny how just sort of... I mean, maybe that sounds like gentrification, but just, like, tidying something up makes people respect it a little bit more and treat it a little bit better. It's like the broken window theory, I guess. If you clean up the broken windows, then nobody's going to climb inside your house and piss in it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There was a big thing that people used to shit in our back step time until,
really
like...
Really popular place.
They built lots of gates.
Yeah.
So it felt kind of crappy. As I lived there, it got more and more, like, security. weed, which, yeah. like...
Where but... they could have just put a bathroom in the park, maybe, totally. Or something.
Right?
Yeah, genius idea. What?
Create bathroom availability. That would be a good thing.
I know, what's the line, like, I think gentrification has more of the... Like, I know that it's, like, a creeping phenomenon, but, like, when we think about it in Vancouver, it's often, like... You knock down a whole block and put a fresh new condo development or something. Mm-hmm. I think our little park with our little neighborhood grant was like cuter and hopefully not
it was
just
refreshing more than anything like, else. Yeah. You didn't put in something new, you just improved something that was already there.
Yeah, we were just like, oh, this stuff
the
just...
utility was maintained.
Yeah. And then I remember like we were out in force, like in a little crew, and then like neighbors from across the park.
People brought beer.
Up.
Yeah. Do you remember that?
These awesome lesbians came over and just like, hey, so it was just
like
all
this is a really nice thing. And can we buy you some beer? It was like, okay. And what a sweet thing.
That's so great.
Yeah.
Aw.
So I really liked it there.
I lived there twice.
Charming.
So
how do you moved away and then came back?
Yeah.
Again? Oh yeah.
I lived there, I can't think of the years, but I lived there and then probably like 5 years later, I lived there again.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I just found out, like, an acquaintance of mine also lived there. Did you ever know Blaze, who lived in the building? I don't know if we know neighbors.
Name.
Pretty great.
Is,
But he lived in my exact apartment.
Oh.
Which is so weird. We were talking about, he's like, oh, yeah, I used to live right at Commercial in Woodland. I'm like, oh, me too. Cool. What building? You know, narrow down. I'm like, okay, yep, same building. What floor? Yeah. Okay, second floor. Okay, like, what apartment? He's like, oh, I don't remember, but it was the one that, you know, faced the other building. It had a big bamboo thing in front. I'm like, that was totally
that's
my
me.
Apartment.
Yeah, the same apartment.
And so he was the one that chose the paint colors that I loved so much, and that's why I picked that apartment.
Oh, so we lived in it before you
Yeah,
did.
Like, immediately, like, right before me.
That's
which
really
was, like,
that.
Wild.
Yeah.
Who, I don't know. I really am charmed by that kind of stuff a lot.
Yeah, me too.
It's not this guy, too. Is it?
Yeah.
Oh. Cool.
Thanks, Facebook.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Pretty distinctive. So yeah, so now we talk about this on the podcast a lot where I'm like, I miss living by myself. It was pretty nice to have that apartment.
Yeah,
but...
that building has taken care of a lot of us, I think.
It's a very bosomy place. It only smelled like a lot like cat pee in the hallway.
Part of the charm.
The piss charm.
And like the bright, like the dark purple wall and the red swirly carpet.
Yes. I loved that.
And then,
though.
But then he repainted.
It was woomy, actually.
Yeah, then he repainted all the doors in the hallways to be bright neon blue and green.
Yeah, that weird combo.
Which like didn't go with the
it
red
was exactly
weird carpet,
the colors so. That Jasta painted her bedroom when she was a teen.
Yeah, it felt
so
it's
loud
totally
teen
teenager
colors.
Like science experiment in the corner.
Oh my god, my house is painted very ridiculous colors, but not quite that aggressive. Darker than that. Hopefully. Oh man, I really did love that building. I miss you having your own apartment, but this is much cheaper.
And you know, I live with my partner who I love. That's also nice.
Just kidding. That part's important.
Dumb.
I guess.
Yeah,
just being alone feels so good when you're an only child.
Yeah, we were just like, it's been like 8 years. We should probably try to live together and just see, you know, if we actually can stand each other or what. Mm-hmm. Like, I guess, like, what would have, you know, if we decided that we hated living together, would we have just gone back to living separately and it would have been fine? Maybe.
Who knows?
But we were like, let's take things to the next level after 8 years.
I think this might actually work out.
Yeah, but I was worried because I'm like, what if we fucking hate living with each other and we've already been together for so long and it's you
thing,
know,
yeah.
Turns out fine, totally fine. So
turns out it's okay. Turns out pretty laid back dude.
Yeah. And I thought that he would be, like, way more, like, clean and neat and orderly because he just always was whenever I would come over here.
So he's trying to impress you.
Yeah, I think so. Because now it's just like, he's sunk down to my level. It's all good. We're all
get
messy.
On my level. Get down to my level. Yeah. No further down, please. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Messy and comfy.
That's
how I like to live.
Yeah. Your home's always felt good, so.
I always have interesting fabrics and things.
Yeah.
She likes draperies.
Yeah.
Why, you must have all these draperies to feel like you're exotic. I just love doing that voice so much.
I like this character.
I don't even know who she is. She's just a mad woman about town.
But she's not the brassy dame.
No, she's a little bit manic. I've been taking a lot of cocaine-based diet pills.
It's So you've got her, Brassy Dame, and then the Midwestern Mom. Like, you're working on your character repertoire.
Yeah. Yes.
You're almost on the road for a one-woman show.
No, I'm not going to do that to you guys. I promise nothing. I promise nothing. I'll totally do it. I'll do a one-woman show. I'll do a podcast that has tarot cards on it. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. How was your week, Katie?
Oh, man. It was interesting.
May you live in interesting times.
Oh, boy.
Blessing or a curse.
No, it's actually pretty cool. We recorded last weekend, didn't we?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I had to take my brats to the vet for the first time, which was, like, a really interesting experience. Don't know if I already talked about that, but...
I forget,
but it was... They were very well appreciated there. Mm. The veterinarian was super Russian. And she's like, oh, they are so cute. It was so adorable. Mm. So they're fine. Turns out they're fine. So that was great. But this week I had to run an event at work, which had me at school until like 7:30. And then I had to run across town and do a set at the Foxhole, which has now been taken over by past guest Jackie Hoffer.
Woohoo!
And so now there's a lesbian-run weekly comedy show in Vancouver. And she's
like... In the old porn theater.
In the old projection room. And she's like, you can pretty much have a spot whenever you want. So I'm like, I can pretty much go up bi-weekly if I want to at the Foxhole. So that's great. That's
bisexual, cool. Bi-weekly.
Bisexual, bi-weekly. I live my life one bi at a time. And that's it's all good. So I'm psyched about that. I had a really good set. And then I went and checked out the roast battle that was going on up at Little Mountain Gallery, which was very funny. Not a past guest, but past in this house, Brett Skillen, who was at the New Year's party and did a set, was being roasted by someone saying, Brett likes to do a lot of, he does one-line jokes. Coincidentally, that's all it takes to draw him. He's the skinniest person I've ever met in my life. I'm not into body shaming, but...
Ah, see, I interpreted that one line is all it takes to draw him, like a line of cocaine, and he'll show up at your party.
No. One line to draw his body, because he's, like, very thin. He has his own joke about how he looks like a cartoon skeleton who could try to play his own ribs like a xylophone.
It's kind of cute, actually.
He's adorable. Yeah. I mean, he's only 22, so, like, that's why he's small.
Yeah.
In the circumference. Mm. He's very tall. I dug myself into a hole because it sounded like you felt really bad for him, and so I'm trying to make it sound like he's fine. He's okay.
He seems fine.
He said horrible things about the other guy, so the other guy was going through a divorce, so got quite a barrage. Ooh. Yeah. I'm not into roasts as a general rule, but I felt like it would be important to show up because, like, everybody was there. I don't know if there was any regular people in the audience at all, if it was just all comedians, but... It was interesting.
It was the who's who of Vancouver comedy scene.
Who's who. So yeah, I guess it wasn't that interesting of a week. Those are kind of the two only things I did. But I remember how a couple weeks ago...
You're keeping the spark of creativity alive, like we made you promise to do. She has to keep doing.
I have a couple follow-ups. One follow-up to last week when we talked about how I have to get three people to ask them directly to read my script. I was not able to ask many people. I failed at it after one and was like, no, this is too much to ask a person individually. So I just put out a general call and then like four or five people said that they would read it. So I'm like, it's a bit of a mulligan, but the end result is the same. So it was like... It's like that woman who has obsessive compulsive disorder and thinks that she's left her curling iron plugged in forever, and it starts to ruin her life. She has to leave work to go and check it constantly, and eventually her therapist just says, why don't you unplug the curling iron and bring it with you when you go to work so that you can just look in your purse and see that it's there so it's not plugged in at home?
Huh. Not a bad workaround.
Yeah, it's just work around the problem if you can't seem to get through it. It's like, just get the thing done at least. So that's what I did. So I kind of ate shit a little on it, but I did something.
That's good.
So it's better than nothing.
I'm still very proud of you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. So I'm feeling a little bit better about that. I joined like a group about screenwriting on Facebook.
Huh.
And so far everybody else has posted is a little more obnoxious than me, so I think it's okay. So I'm doing fine. And the other thing I wanted to follow up on was when we talked about how I was like, I'm just done with feeling bad about my body and all that kind of stuff. Nope, I'm not. I'm not done.
Oh no.
I started it again.
Oh no, it's like lifelong projects.
Oh god, I really thought that time it was forever. So that was the other thing, is this week I was just like, I'm gross, my clothes don't fit. Brr, I'm a holiday ham. But whatever. It's fine. Don't worry about old Katie.
Yeah. Cool. It's a lifelong project. As long as like you get the spikes of just like, yay, everything's good, and I actually do enjoy living.
You know what? The second
body.
That Forever 21 and Old Navy put out cool dresses in my size that are comfortable, I won't be upset anymore.
Mm-hmm. You just want to be able to wear shit. But
there's nothing for the season. Exactly. There's nothing to wear. I wore jeans the other day and the button gave me a rash in my belly button because I was allergic to the metal. I was like, I get it. I get it, world of fashion. This isn't for me.
Stretch fabrics.
I'm going to put on my sackcloth and get my cat of nine tails and just whip myself forever. Anyway, that's what I've been. How have you been?
I got a San Junipero t-shirt.
Yes, you did. It's perfect for the audio medium. It's beautiful.
I've been wearing it like 3 days in a row and no girls have even hit on me once and I'm really annoyed. Okay. That's fine.
Nice jugs.
Yeah, thanks. You're welcome. No, that's
They are, though. They're really nice.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome. It was a genuine compliment.
Okay. I had a very good week. I got to go to a conference all week, which was really fun. That's sort of, I got to get into my element where it's like you just meet with lots of interesting people.
Super secret job.
Yes. And you just like learn about all the things that they need and the barriers that they're facing. And then you like, you meet with like 30 or 40 different groups of people. And then you're like, wow, the same three themes have come out in like most meetings. So like now we can actually make some policy recommendations. I love that shit so much.
I love policy. Are you a policy wonk?
I am, apparently.
I don't know what that means, but it sounds good.
It sounds good. It
sounds like a character on West Wing.
Yeah. I think policy wonk just is more political somehow. I don't know. But it was just really cool to be like, hey, I really like doing this, and I can learn stuff really quickly, and I can like write quick like blurbs about whatever, and then I can submit them to people who now actually have the power to like do something cool about it. As opposed to just writing them just for a blog post or for, like, a, you know, like...
For our newsletter.
Or to be, like, a activist advocate where I'm just like, here's the things that we need to do. I can actually be like, hey, we should work on these. Yeah. I can, like, slide a paper over the table to someone.
Get shit done.
Power. Yeah. And a little bit of box wine.
Yeah. How was your week, Cher?
How was my week? My week's been good. I'm, was at my day job all week, and then I spent a lot of my time after, so I'm part of planning this big ritual for Samhain, so it's like a big pagan slash witch ritual on October 29th, and so I'm part of the organizing committee for that, so there's been all the, you know, things you do that you never think about when someone throws an event.
All the little logistics.
All the little things and the big things. So I've spent a lot of my time doing that. Mm-hmm. And then I just a few hours before coming here, I had a 2-day date with my partner. So that was nice. That was a good, like, end of the week. Like, nice.
Put a cap on that little bit. Yeah.
All this, doing all the things and then just having time. So... yeah, and now I'm here, so it feels like it's been a very good week.
Nice.
Yeah.
Productive and restorative.
Yes.
In equal measures.
Totally.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So you've alluded to some of the topics that we're interested in.
Yes, yeah.
It's, magic. And, like, working on kind of bringing some pagan, like, spirituality into this old city of ours. Yeah. Like, how did you get involved in that, or do you have some...
Yeah.
What's going on right now?
the communities that I, like, practice a lot of magic in, it's, like, reclaiming witchcraft communities that have been around for quite some time, and I'm pretty new in the last, like, 5 or so years, and I think within those communities, I'm someone who I have a lot of energy and a lot of passion. So I'm like, I can help do things.
Nice.
So this big ritual, Samhain, it's October 29th and it's a public ritual. So last year there was like about maybe 230 people or something there.
Oh.
So it's like a massive ritual and it's a pretty amazing thing. And so... so I've committed to be on the organizing committee for the next 3 years, which, you know, might go longer, who knows, but, there was a lot of people who had been organizing it for like years and years and years and years who really, I think, didn't want to organize it anymore because they've like put in their time.
Yeah.
And, like, I have like so much fire and energy in me, like, let me use this time. And so I was thinking
about... I bet they were just like, thank goodness. Like,
yeah, well, I think about
things. Thank goddess. Like, am I right, guys? Am I right?
It's good.
Thank goddess.
Good one. I do know that joke. But being able to be like, yeah, I have all, I can like help and myself and other people, like, you know, we can help do these things. And my hope is that like, especially like people who've been doing this a long time, that they can just show up and just do what they want to do, not what they feel like they have to do, you know?
So mm-hmm. to like keep roles. The event running afloat or representative of whatever. Like they can just be themselves.
Yeah.
Nice.
Totally.
Nice.
So that's a nice gift to people who've been putting in that time.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Because I feel like it's like they've carried that and now I get
they
to.
They could just show up and eat hummus.
Yeah,
and
totally. Right?
And charge their crystals and shit.
Totally.
Yeah. It's a good time.
Yeah. Whatever feels good. So, yeah. Nice. That's kind of the big thing. Right now.
Nice. I went to a really amazing, in Edinburgh, they do Beltane and Samhain, like, as huge, like, I processionals bet. With fire and stuff, like, lots of fire. Yeah.
Like, they like to set stuff on fire there a lot.
They really do. So, yeah, Beltane, I haven't gone, I've only seen, it's, like, four factions of, like, hundreds of people in different, like, full body paint of, like, red, blue, white, or green, and then, like, by the end of the night, everyone's body paint is really smeared and rainbowy at the end, so everyone just, like...
They've been necking.
Everyone just smashes bods in the hills. It's pretty good. There's a huge bonfire.
Oh,
torchbearers drumming.
Well, that don't make you horny. I don't know what will.
I know, and then, but I went to Samhain, and it was, like, a little more, like, subdued, right? But, like, still everyone, like, there was a whole faction of, like, drummers, so they just, like, march, like, the long, curvy streets in Scotland with torches and drums and cloaks and, like, different masks, and then, like, came into the main plaza, like, around the art gallery and put on, like, a pageant, basically, around, like, you know, the seasons changing and things like that. It was really cool!
Wow.
It was so cool.
Stuff. Yeah.
And, yeah, so I'm curious, is it a thing that people can...
Anyone can come. So you can look up the probably the best way to find that info is like if you look on Facebook, you can look up Vancouver, is it Vancouver Samhain, Vancouver Samhain 2017, I think. So Samhain's Samhain. And yeah, we have it actually set up where the ritual starts at 7, and then so the doors open at like 5:45, and then just I think it's 6 or 6:15, we start like a newcomers space, people who have not been there before or maybe want to just know a bit more about. So it could be like someone's there to answer questions and just sort of talk about different things that happen in the ritual and this like. Yeah, I think in, like, Reclaiming Witchcraft, it very much is, like, about people being engaged in it. So it's not, like, it's, like, yeah, even the way, like, the priestessing will happen, so the people, like, facilitating the ritual will do it in ways that people can be very involved and engaged. And so it's not like you're sort of coming to watch a magic show and, you know.
Or, like, like a pageant or of some
kind
or whatever.
Yeah,
some
kind of like, it's all very much, like, we're doing this together. So... and so it's gonna be really, really beautiful and amazing. So it's just at the Maritime Labor Center.
Oh, nice.
Using the space there, which is great.
Thanks, and unions.
Yeah, right. So it's good.
Wicked.
It's I like that you said like, yeah, it's more inclusive / welcoming to newcomers. I'm always like intimidated by any large community gathering where it's like, okay, if I go to this, am I like all in?
Right.
Or do I have to like not participate or like what's the line?
Totally.
And I just like.
Well, I'd be spanked with a paddle at some point.
Oh, I mean, if that's part of the program, like I really want to.
just totally kidding. Definitely telling a joke now.
But yeah, I don't know. I always have. Like, reluctance to get extremely deep into any community.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just always much more of, like,
fear
a periphery
commitment.
Person. A little bit.
No,
like...
that's fair. I mean, you've been dragged into things a lot. Because you're very nice and capable, so that happens.
But, like, I really... It's the same way that I feel about any kind of, like, esoteric kind of community where it's, like, I really want to just, like, fully... invest and like get in there and like give myself over to whatever community and then but I'm just like but I just like my life the way it is over here like and so
totally.
I just don't
I think there be an idea that like you either have to be like 100% in or you're on the outs and I think that like what I found with like reclaiming witchcraft is that it's a practice that's really set on people you know one of the like they're like the guiding principles. I'm blanking out on the exact words, but it's about like you're your own spiritual authority. Like you can engage how you want, do what makes sense to you.
And at harm none, do as you will.
Yeah. But really being able to like be mindful about your own like levels of commitment. Mm-hmm. Like there's lots of people who just like, you know, come, this is like the biggest ritual that happens every year. So there's lots of people, they just come to it, and lots of people from like a whole bunch of different different faiths. I remember chatting with some, I was co-organizing last year as well, and chatting with some folks that were Sikh, and they came, and there was a family that came out, and they were saying how they were like, we just wanted to like come and see something different, and they all came together. And
cool, that's lovely.
And it's like stuff like that where you're like, they're like, this is like, yeah, not like, we are really committed to our own faith, and this is like, it's like a public like, you know, ritual that people can attend and sort of be part of, and
that's cool. Yeah. It's like a cultural exchange in a way. Like
totally. Sikh culture's super into that. Yes. That's why they open the doors of their temples so often and just like share food with anybody who wants it. It's pretty cool. Yeah. I'm coming around, like, after very many years of being just a staunch atheist. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd gone to church a lot as a teen. Not religious family at all, but like went to Bible camp and stuff like that, and then my 20s were all like, I'm an atheist now, Richard Dawkins. And now I just realized, like, any kind of orthodoxy just bums me out in any capacity. So it's like, I'm just kind of like, whatever, universe, let's explore and see some cool things. And so I'm much more open to these kinds of things now. And so I love, I feel much less negative towards organized religion that encourages, you know, inquiry and stuff like that. That's the people whose religions encourage, you know, going out into the world and having experiences and stuff like that. I think that's awesome and rad, and it's a good guiding principle to have.
Do you have any feel like, because you're saying reclaiming witchcraft, not necessarily like Wicca as like a thing, that's a totally separate thing.
Yeah, this is just like a
more of a practice rather than a whole.
Well, there's definitely like a, I don't know why I'm blanking out on the right words to say it, because it's like a, like it's a practice, it's a type of witchcraft, it's a community, it's you know, and people sort of engage with it in a lot of different ways. So so this is like if you've heard of there being like reclaiming witch camps, there's like BC witch camp that
I've heard of
year.
Witch camp.
Yeah, so there's a few of them like
it sounds really fun.
Different places in the world. Yeah,
it's super fun.
It's kind of amazing. You like go into, you know, go away for a week with like 100 people and then try and come back into the rest of the world and you're like, oh, hello.
Well, yeah, see, that's kind of that's again one of the fears of like getting too deep into one thing or the other, to be like, how am I supposed to function in my like day-to-day life, where it's like, you know, some folks might say like, well, the day-to-day life that we've constructed is, like, fake and super contrary to the human spirit, and we shouldn't be locked into, you know, a 9-to-5 job, or, like, I remember I did a ritual with my friend Ari, and he fucking broke open my
chakras.
He broke open my head. Like, I literally felt like he took the piece out of the top of my head, and then we didn't really finish up properly, and then I was just so sensitive for, like, a week. I couldn't sit under a fluorescent light. It just, like, hurt. And I couldn't really talk to people. And then he was, like, he kind of, I saw him again, and he kind of helped, like, close that up again and taught me sort of some ways to sort of shield myself from some stuff. But he's like, yeah, I know a lot of people that really, when they go deep into, like, spiritual, like, even, like, tons of meditation, whatever, like, can't interact with people in society. And so then they kind of become quite removed and then are enclosed in, like, a very small community of only people that can, that are very sensitive as well. And so I'm just like, but I also want to live in the world. So, like,
I think it's like, I was thinking about, I've gone to witch camp twice, and coming back, I've had really funny experiences. Like, I was, it's just in Squamish, so it's, like, you know, not even an hour away, but driving back with my friend, and we were driving through the city, so we drove going through an intersection really close to here, actually, like around the PNE, and I think it was like just after we'd gotten off the freeway, so it was like back in like slow traffic again.
Yes.
And And then there was a car that, like, pulled up next to us at a stop sign. And I remember, like, sitting in my friend's car, and I started rolling down the window to talk to the guy in the car next to me. And I started just saying, like, what a regular-looking guy. He's the most regular, ordinary-looking guy I've ever seen. And I was rolling down the window, and my friend was like, Sharon, roll up the window. Roll up the window. Don't be weird. Because it's, like, you just kind of are in this, yeah, in a bit of a world. But I think that's, like, an extreme, you know, an extreme, like, I think after being in, like, 24/7 at witch camp for a week.
Yeah, because it's if you're
different
saying
than like going to a ritual for a few hours. Mm-hmm. Maybe you just need like the rest of the evening to kind of chill out. But witch camp, you're kind of for 2 days being like.
Sounds like you kind of come back on mushrooms.
Yeah, almost. Like, yeah.
Like I just need to connect with this guy about how ordinary his face is. Just give me a sec. Like, please don't do that.
Like, why? I don't know.
Oh, it's at Evans Lake.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. I think I went to art camp there.
Nice.
I remember it being a very beautiful place, mm-hmm. and I really enjoyed myself. Absolutely. It's, like, right gorgeous. In the smack in the middle of the Pacific rainforest, basically.
Oh, it's pretty.
Gorgeous, yeah.
And you said it's, like, a couple hundred people, or...?
Yeah, there's about, I think, just over 100 people that go to that.
So that's, like, the perfect size that they say, where it's, like, you can kind of know who everybody is by the time you're done. And
yeah, totally.
I love
nice
camp.
Community building. I do love camp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
only children love 1 week at camp and no more. By the end of it, so ready to be not there anymore. But then also like, ah, I miss my camp friends.
Yeah.
I have crushes on everybody.
And then you're like, oh, I can take like a really nice shower at home. And then
outdoor flip-flops.
Yeah, or like go to 7-Eleven and get some chips. And like there's things like that. You're like, oh, the world has nice things.
So you've brought your beautiful tarot cards.
I do.
You've broken in quite some time ago.
We introduced you as a tarot reader, and I follow your Instagram.
You
do like a tarot card of
Instagram?
The day.
I do follow you.
I do. I do a lot of things with. I love Instagram. Mm-hmm. Love Instagram. Like I think that people will always be a little, not always, or often a little bit embarrassed about liking certain social media. Mm-hmm. I love Instagram. My Instagram is Tarot Readings by Sharon Pink. And the readings has an S on it, which gets people confused. But I love it. So I do a whole bunch of things on there. I'll do things like, sometimes I'll sit and pull cards by myself and I'll be like, what are some cards? What's the like message that like people on Instagram are going to read today? And I kind of put it out there with that intention in mind. And then sometimes I pull cards that are for myself or someone else, or maybe it's just sort of comment on different things or whatever it might be. But yeah, I have lots of fun on Instagram. And I was thinking about actually when talking about the like, being atheist, it made me think about conversations I have. I have a mentor that I work with, a tarot mentor, and we talk a lot about us both being like a little bit skeptical. So we both have intuitive psychic things that happen when we do readings, and it's like when I say that I always like want to roll my eyes at myself and be like,
you're in good company.
Yeah, when you're like 1-800 psychic, like come on.
Call Miss Cleo now.
Right, but the things that like come out are so kind of amazing, and I like surprise myself all the time. And when I do readings for people, so that's like what sort of keeps me to be like a little bit skeptical, I think is good. And it's also like sort of proving myself against that with the stuff that comes out.
Nice.
So I often do readings with people where they'd be like, how did you know that? Or what does that mean? I'd be like, I know, isn't that weird that I just said that?
It's so, yeah, I'm not experienced at all. In fact, I haven't really touched my own cards in a while, but I did a couple readings on here just sort of like using a book and got creepy stuff out of Allison in particular.
Yeah.
Like we had such an eerie. She was like, she kind of cried a little bit after, like it was just weirdly emotionally intense, and I was just like, huh.
Yeah, because
the magic is flowing through me.
Because you pulled some, and then you were able to, like, from the three, like, stories that come from each, you were able to weave together one cohesive narrative, and I think that's a really good
skill. I'm a story weaver.
That is a good skill to have.
It is cool. I just think it's really, I find, like, saying I'm going to predict the future here is always, like, not the intent, but it's kind of like what kind of knowledge can you pull from your existing life that is represented in these archetypes and things like that, like what about this resonates with you and how do you want to focus on it and that kind of stuff. It's just like basically plumbing someone's mind to get them to come to a conclusion themselves.
Yeah,
but then if you've got some like deeper intuitive weird stuff, then suddenly it's just like that's super random, and then the person might even be like, why did you say that? I don't really know. And then maybe in a week they'll be like, ah!
Yeah, that's really common. And there's cool. a lot of things that all, there's a lot of things that, like, they kind of, like, come through me. And they used to be a little bit more almost tangible. Like, there was things where I would look at a card and I'd get, like, a blurry picture of, like, I'd start seeing an image.
Wow.
And now there's things that are just, I don't know, I'll just kind of get, like,
a vibe.
Or it's like it's almost like there's it's just like knowledge that I know.
Oh, cool.
And it's like why do I know that? That's so weird. But I kind of laugh at myself a lot to be just like why are you saying that? I have no idea. But this is just a thing that makes sense. So
it's in my noggin.
Yeah, it's just there. So
it's like every time I read Shiny Nicholas's horoscope for myself, I want to grab my computer and throw it out the window because it's so creepy.
Yeah. How does she know my life?
Well, yeah. I read horoscopes about myself all the time because I'm like, this is dumb. And I like to read them, even though I feel really, really attuned to my signs. Mm-hmm. Ugh. See, we have to do the self-deprecation along with the, I love it, it's so interesting, but it's stupid.
Yeah. Right?
Just so boys don't think I'm dumb.
It's okay. We're in our like special studio now.
Yeah, special safe space. But she's the only one that is consistently hitting me right where I live. Mm. And every single one of them, every week, is just mm-hmm. like, hey, bitch, wake up. Yeah. Like, here's what's going on with you. And I'm like, how very dare you?
Yeah.
Then I looked her up and she's beautiful. So, yes. Damn it. A lot of these mystical people are very attractive. Yourself not excluded. I also just added you on Instagram. So, so yeah, it's really cool. When did you start doing this?
I started, like, I mean, I think tarot has been around for me. I can picture, like, playing with cards when I was, like, you know, probably in grade 7 with one of my friends. Mm-hmm. Who I had a very big crush on her, which tarot probably helped that. And then through, like, it's sort of, they were just around for a while. And then, and then it's been, like, maybe, I'm really bad with time, so I'd guess about 6 years or so, 5 or 6 years probably.
Wow.
I just got a deck and I started doing them, mm-hmm. and I just started using cards for myself. And then I started noticing patterns coming up, and so and I would be like, this is weird. Like, there was this one card in the deck that probably, like, every second card I would get, maybe every second or third card, it came up, and it was like, you know, just, and I was like, how did I just shuffle the whole deck, like, over and over, and then for like a month this card just keeps coming up? And so so I started being like, okay, maybe there's something really here right now. And then I started just doing readings for other people. And I was reading from the reading from the book. And then I used the book less and started just doing it more intuitively. Mm-hmm. And then my tarot mentor, her name's Linda Beach. She's in Victoria. And I did a weekend workshop with her, which gave me, like, a good sort of foundation for the cards themselves. Cool. And then I just kept doing it. And then I would do, like, organizing different, like, femme events in Vancouver. And so I would do these sort of, I would sit down for, like, 3 or 4 hours and do these mini readings for people. Mm-hmm. And then I just, friends would start, you know, ask me, and it just sort of became more and more. And then I started to be like, oh, like, I think I'm good at this. Like, I think this is good. And the more sort of the feedback I got from people was like, oh, this is something I should actually be doing. Mm-hmm. And then I had a friend of mine want to offer me money for a reading. And I was like, okay. And then I remember doing this reading. We met at a park. I did the reading for her. And it was a really impactful reading. And she's told me about it since, too. And she gave me money, and I remember taking the money and just, like, kind of grabbing it and crumpling it up, being so discomforted, and, like, shoving it in my bag just to be like, I don't want to know how much money she gave me. I don't want to look at it. And then it was then that I was like, oh, this is actually, like, I have a skill, and I'm using energy, and it's something I can offer. Mm-hmm. So I want to be able to do this. So I just kept doing it, and here I am, just keep doing it. And the more I do tarot, the more I kind of fall in love with it, and and the more like I feel like it's like I feel like anyone can access that intuition or psychic or mm-hmm. however, you know, you want it. There's a million different words for it. And so I think that I feel like really fortunate that I'm able to do mm-hmm. that. And it's fun and it's useful, and I think I can like be with people and hold shit that feels really hard, you know, mm-hmm. like I can really, it's
therapeutic.
It's totally therapeutic. Like it feels pretty easy for me to like be in that space with people. And so, and it's like, it's just like people come to me for all these different reasons, and it's really, I never have any expectation of a reading. Like I really just try and be really clear, and I will kind of let the cards
fall where they may.
Yeah, there's all these things that I'm always like, oh my god, this is so embarrassing. I'm being like so cliche. This is so cheesy.
But it's
and
good.
It's fucking cool.
Yeah,
so, our
yeah.
whole conceit is that yeah. we're witches. Yeah. That's the whole vibe we're trying to go for here. This is the most authentic episode we've done, probably
in a while. For
I'm
sure,
I'm a witch.
You're a witch.
I'm not a witch. I'm your wife.
Made me think of Princess Bride for some reason.
You're saying that like anyone can kind of access that stuff. Like, do you feel like it's because you're working with this tool and you're using that to kind of channel focus, or and then like the more that you do it, the more it kind of becomes easier, or maybe the more you're able to like draw.
Yeah, I think that like I've had two other psychic medium people tell me this like separately, that when I was, so they both told me like when I was five, my dad passed away, and after he passed away, like different reasons, I would say 5 until 17, or well, mm-hmm. a little bit later, even actually into my 20s, I was just kind of surviving through a lot of hard stuff going on. Mm-hmm. And I've had two different people tell me that my dad was also a very like spiritual, intuitive person, mm-hmm. and he saw that in me, but after he passed away, like I kind of had to shut off any of that stuff in me. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like just like doing a lot of healing and then coming to a place where I mm-hmm. can like access that feels really really amazing, actually. Mm-hmm. And so it's been interesting where I've taught some workshops with like tarot and magic, and so throughout them I've like done some different things, different exercises and stuff with people to support people to like connect to their own stuff, and especially mm-hmm. around tarot, because it's so funny, there's like a bunch of moments where people would like pull cards, and I'm thinking of in the tarot workshops, but then just like in life in general, people pull a card and then like the whole room will look at me and be like, what does it mean? I'm like, don't look at me, you can do this too, like you've done this in you too. And and some people read from the book, which is like, that's perfectly good too. But there's mm-hmm. there's just I really feel like there's as many people use tarot, there's that many ways to use it, and so being able to like find like mm-hmm. what is your way to access this, mm-hmm. you know, like how does it make sense to you? And I have this like weird shit that comes through me, and that's not better mm-hmm. or more important than someone who's like pulling a card and then opening a book and reading that through, you know, like there's mm-hmm. there's all these different ways are useful and valid. And and so I do something that's been kind of cool. I've done it in groups, and I've done it with friends, where you get people together. Everyone pulls a card, and then you do like a group reading.
Oh, fun.
And it's really cool because it's like people who've like never seen the cards before. Mm-hmm. It's like just basically you're passing around a piece of art, you know, and the art's got, there's tons of lineage and history in it, but people will be able to like connect with whatever mm-hmm. they connect
like,
to.
What do
it.
You think this card is
yeah.
saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you get, like we've had it where you pass it around the mm-hmm. circle, and everyone shares like a little bit, whatever they feel like the message is. And then that person gets a kind of, whatever messages come through all those people to them.
Oh, I like that so much.
Yeah, that's and super it's neat. Like you could do it. You know, anyone could do that. Like
we should
you,
do it.
Yeah, you just like
do it for a hygge party.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a perfect cards. Little hygge event.
Looking for some cozy winter activities.
Oh, yeah. It's a perfect cozy winter activity. Especially people love to do it on like new moons and full moons and.
Perfect.
Yeah,
I love that. How many do you have? Multiple decks.
I have probably about, I would say I have about 12 decks. This deck, which is the Collective Tarot, so this deck is the one that I, like, mostly use.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's amazing. It was made by a collective of people that just wanted to sort of imagine the tarot a bit more modern, and also
that's so cool.
A bit less, like, a lot of the traditional images are, like, lots of, like, white men going off on horses and stuff. So there's a lot of different ways it's been sort of reinterpreted. But this is the main deck I use for other people. And then I have a few other decks that I use. One other deck is called the Spirit Speak deck. And I use that one. I haven't used it in a while for readings with other people, but mm-hmm. I used to use it in combination with this one. And mm-hmm. I don't know. It's like so hard for me. I don't have a lot of stuff. I just moved 2 months ago into a tiny home, an actual tiny home.
Oh, wow.
So I like just can't even own a lot of things. But it's like really so much, like tarot is so beautiful and there's so many interpretations. It's hard for me to like.
And it doesn't take up too much space. Right? At least. Yeah.
Well, when you live in like 200 square feet.
Yeah, you got to be really judicious about that. Yeah. That's a very like a big, it's a big deck. It's a very big deck you have there. It's impressive in its size and girth. I just really like, I like it. I get it like a good, this is going to sound corny. We're couching everything. It feels very like there's a lot of energy coming mm-hmm. off of it. Mine, I feel like don't. Have that yet. They get charged if I'm reading for somebody. It feels like sparkly and not sparkly, but it feels very like staticky and mm-hmm. weird and kind of like it's not broken in yet.
Yeah.
Kind of. And that's the feeling that I get with it is that it's sometimes like, it's too powerful. It's not powerful enough or something. Mm-hmm. But I love the artwork on it, which is all Art Nouveau in the style of Alphonse Mucha. So nice. It's like the Mucha Tarot, but it's not all his artwork. But I think I just find it very beautiful.
Yeah.
So. I'm hoping that it gets broken in a bit better.
When you did a reading for me, Katie, the same card kept coming up every time.
Yeah.
And it was, I was just like, just tell me what to do. I just need to like, you know, like I need to pick one thing or the other. Just tell me what to do. And the card just kept coming up being like, you have to choose. It's not you have to do it.
That's not what I wanted for this reading.
You're going to have a bunch of choices. So it's all up to you. I'm like, God damn it. But like literally it would like shuffle, shuffle, shuffle that one again.
Yeah.
Nah. Okay, but what about this? Read into this. Yeah. Shuffle, shuffle. Same thing. Like, damn it.
And it kind of ended up being like a bunch of possibilities kept coming up, and eventually the one that you really wanted just fell in your lap and you didn't really have to make the choice, kind of.
Yeah.
So that's funny
that
it came out that way. It's like, well, stop asking me to do this. I just want it to happen.
It's like all the time that I do readings for people, and it's like people often want to come wanting like validation,
mm-hmm.
which happens a lot because there's a lot of things that they're like, I know this and now I see it. But people really want to just be like wanted the cards to say the things they want. And so that's something that, I think being able to hold space for hard things to be like, actually, there might be another thing going on here, another way that, you know, life is going to turn out. And and that's why I also like, I don't read cards for myself. So I'll either ask my partner or I'll ask, I have a friend of mine who lives in New Orleans, and so we'll write each other, and so we'll write each other and be like, can you pull a card about this, or can you pull a card about this? And then I also like to get readings by other people. I especially love to get readings by, like, if I'm at an event and there's, like, a person reading tarot or something that I, like, have no connection to, I really like that a lot.
Nice.
Yeah, and I've had good experiences.
Spend the money on it. And
like, support someone else doing that.
Totally.
But it's, it's like when I read cards for myself, I often will like be just, I believe it that people can also project things onto it, which is why I try and be pretty like clear, you mm-hmm. know, like mm-hmm, there's no totally. Bias as me. I don't want your life to be a certain way. Let's just see like what the truth is. So so I'll often pull cards for myself and be like, oh, I don't want this card. I don't like this card right now.
Pull it, shuffle it back in.
Yeah, all the time. That's why I'm just like, oh, right, I cannot shuffle cards unless I'm like, should I like go out for lunch or make lunch at my house?
So, when you actually do already know what you want to do. Just want somebody else to tell you what it is you want to do.
Yeah, I can imagine, like, if you're coming to something with, like, I really need to make a hard decision, and it's maybe not going to be popular with my friends or family mm-hmm. or whatever, and then it's, like, then you get the tarot reading, and it kind of affirms, like, yes, it's time to do that.
Oh, it's
like, okay, now I feel, like, more confident to actually take that step or something like that.
You know, one that tells you, like, you gotta dump that chump, you're like, oh, I don't want no, damn it.
That's a really common one, and so it's interesting.
I bet that's why people are asking, like, oh, please give me an option that isn't this very unpleasant thing that I have to do, even though I kind of want to do it, but I don't really want to do it. Yeah, just hearing, like,
all the time,
you gotta do it.
Yeah. Or I really will just be like, instead of saying, because I've had most recent readings have actually been around relationship stuff, and in both of them I've just been like this relationship isn't satisfying you. That's what the message is. So it's like, that's the information I'm getting, and I never tell people what to do. So it's like, you can do whatever you want with that, but here's what it's saying. And they're usually like, yes, that's true. And so, yeah. And so it's like, so people can choose what they want to do. Like, I think I also want to do readings that are really empowering to people. So I'm not like, yeah, giving people advice or telling them what to do. And often if people are trying to make decisions, like, okay, let's see what will happen if you do this. And let's see what will happen if you do this. So you can do whatever you want with that. So, yeah.
Which I like feels, it. Yeah. Not prescriptive.
Not, yeah. All. Yeah.
Yeah, so you have the deck, and you have two other items. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
You know, I have this stone here, which is interesting. I just got this stone. It's so beautiful. Obviously,
it looks like an egg, a shiny, shiny egg.
Yeah, and I can't remember what this is. I bought this like a few weeks ago.
It's like polished feldspar to me, but I mean, I don't think that's precious enough. But
I don't know. You want to see it?
Yeah, it's
So I used to have this chunk of jasper. That I would bring with me to do readings. And then I was at the Amethyst Creations, this lovely crystal store on West 4th.
That place is great.
It's amazing. Yeah.
My hands are greasy from my manicure.
And so I got this stone recently, and I can't even remember what it's called. But I like to have a stone with me. I have no, in my astrological chart, I have no earth at all. So I often feel like I'm like...
To ground yourself.
To ground myself, yeah. So I have like a whole bunch of... I'm like fire and water and then a big gust of air. So I often am like, I need a bit of like earth, something from the ground, something from the earth. And then this funny little piece of fabric. It's kind of funny to talk about it. So... it's just this pink piece of fabric. It's
salmon pink.
It's salmon
pink. Like 60s salmon pink.
It's very ordinary. It's got a few stains and things. But it's like, and I wash it all the time, and I have to cut the little stringies off of it. Cause it's just, I don't know where I actually got this in the first place, but this is, I've been using this for a few years now as, it's just always with my tarot cards, and I, that's what I actually do the spreads on. So whether I'm like... doing them at home or doing them in another space. Yeah, this is just always what, and oftentimes like at my home, I'll leave my cards like out, have an altar at my house. And so I'll leave them out on my altar and leave them on this cloth. So this cloth is like, it's almost like I wish it was more beautiful and nicer, you know, or had like, and sometimes I'm like, should I sew the edges up? But
I like it.
I don't know. It just feels like this stone is a new friend, but my cards in this cloth are like, they're like my old friends. So I often will joke that my deck, it's like my 78 best friends. And then I'll be like, no, but really, they're like with me 24/7. They're like always around me. So, yeah. So they're just things that I keep together. So, yeah.
I like it. Yeah. Do you ever do tarot readings for folks, say a podcast listener would like to contact you? Do you ever do something remotely?
Yeah, like... I do quite a bit of, I do like Skype and FaceTime, and I've done like Facebook Messenger because they have video chats. Oh, yeah. So I do that all the time, and I feel like that's like, when I first started doing that, I was a little bit worried that it wouldn't feel as like good of a reading. But it's interesting what I'll usually do. So I did a reading for someone in Los Angeles last week or the week before, and so I was like just kind of picturing myself and then being like, okay, I'm gonna kind of throw a bit of a rope over south so that we're like connected, and and just sort of had that focus as I did my own grounding before the reading. And so I usually will want to know just, you know, generally where people are and be able to
orient yourself
that
a little bit.
Yeah, but it feels like I do that quite a bit. And it's really wonderful, actually. And I think it's almost easier to schedule those two. You know, it's like saying
a schedule versus house.
No travel time. Yeah. And so it's a little bit like I did a reading last week at like 9:30 at night, because it's like,
why not?
Just doing it from home. It's like, that's perfectly good. So I do readings at my home. I've done like different events. I'll do them like through online. I've also done where people have like I've sent them short videos of readings if they just want a few cards, like just recorded a video of myself and Yeah, so lots of different ways. Yes. I'm fairly low tech, but I would say that I'm amazed at technology and I love to be able to use it to access things like that, to kind of connect. Yeah, that's important.
Nice. And people can find all your contact info on your Instagram.
Yes, so. Tarot readings by Sharon Pink. That's me. Yes.
We are at an hour. Oh,
okay.
Wow.
Is there anything else that you want to talk about that you're getting into these days, or is this sort of the main piece, so organizing the ritual and then...
Yeah, this is definitely, those are the biggest things in my world right now. I am, I'm going to be doing some more teaching in the new year. I'm going to be teaching some tarot in Victoria with my tarot mentor, which is really cool to be able to like teach together, and probably doing some teaching more here in Vancouver, it also throughout the next year. That's a lot. I really want to learn a lot and I want to teach a lot. So I put, and that stuff I always put on, share on Instagram to get the info there. So
nice.
Yeah. Cool. And everything I do, if you do follow my Instagram,
you thought it too, didn't you? You thought it.
I did.
I do it for you. So sorry.
No, I love it. That's good. So I don't have to feel so serious about it. But everything I do, I will do it in a way that people, in a way that people can be very eased and welcomed into it. So you don't need to like know tarot to connect. Like that's, you know, you got to start somewhere, learn somewhere. And so that's it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Cool beans.
Katie, do you have anything coming up in the next little while? Do you have anything that you we
want to ask the cards? I have been given an opportunity to do a showcase set for selection for a semi-major festival, which I'm very excited about. I'm not going to say anything else about it.
Congratulations.
It's very exciting because I'm not going into it thinking like I'm definitely going to make it, but I definitely think it's going to be a really good experience and it's going to help me hone a set for comedy that is somewhat safe for television because it has to not be super super raunchy. Anyway, that'll be interesting. So I'm gonna do that, and yeah, I'll be performing quite a bit around Halloween. Hopefully you'll be picking up some more spots so I can buff up my abilities before that showcase on the 28th of October.
That's cool. So. There's a lot of shows that you could be like, hey, I'm trying to run 5 for this showcase, please let me on.
Yeah, and I you will don't ask and for I can much. I don't ask for much, and I'm small and quiet, and I don't eat much. None of those things are true.
You've added yet another character to your arsenal.
Oh, it's slightly southern now. Oh, heavens. Don't know where all this is coming from, but it's okay.
That's like perfect.
It. Yeah.
I have nothing to plug. Nothing to plug, nothing coming up.
Well, if your nose starts bleeding, we know where to get a tampon at least.
I am about
call back!
Oh, 10 blocks down the street.
So, very nicely done. I like it. Oh my goodness.
So if you need to plug that, then.
Haven't had a nosebleed in a really long time. You know, touch.
That's some a very good pun.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I was. Were you noticing that?
<It's good. laughs> Thanks.
She's very talented.
Yeah, I'm not clever with words. So.
Yeah, that's okay. You're very good with cards. Like I said,
it's true. Yeah. That's true.
Nice.
Thanks for coming on the show, Sharon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I appreciate you taking the time this afternoon.
Yeah.
And then we'll be back. We're excited for the rest of October. We've got some really good guests.
Oh boy!
In addition to yourself coming up.
I'm very very excited about who's coming.
Yeah.
Tomorrow
and
or next
then,
week.
Yeah. And then we'll just kind of look on to the rest of
the future.
Well, and just fall and like, this is my favorite time of year so much. So I'm really
this
excited.
This bitch loves cardigans.
Yes. And I think I might come out to the Samhain Festival because that would be really, really awesome.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That sounds really fun. And I don't think I'm doing anything on the 29th.
So. Yeah.
Well, looks like you are now.
Yeah.
We're going to get mystical as fuck.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool. Okay. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.